This session is Alternative Christmas Celebrations. My name is Ricky Schwain, and I'll be relying heavily on this book, which is available in the bookstore. It's called the Alternative Celebrations Catalog. It's an excellent resource if you're interested in changing your Christmas habits, both personal traditions and also working with community efforts to change Christmas traditions. I was told that I should share something personal about myself before beginning, and the two things that I would like to share with you are relevant to the session this evening. The one is that probably like you or like some of you, I am not an authority on alternative Christmas celebrations. I'm a beginner. I'm in process. I haven't made tremendous changes in my traditions yet. And perhaps also like you, I feel intimidated by the society around me that emphasizes commercialism so heavily. I'm also, I suppose, more specifically, intimidated by my immediate environment, which is Hyde Park in Chicago, which in addition to the consumerism, is also heavily Jewish. I think that Christians are in a minority in that area, which just, you know, makes it an added challenge to practice Christian Christmas celebrations. And I guess I would like to sort of illustrate those two things about me with an anecdote that happened last Christmas. I have a three-year-old, and for Christmas last year, she received two good-sized baby dolls, which were already two more than she needed since she already had one. So it's clear that I hadn't, you know, stemmed the tide of, you know, people giving my child gifts very well. And then she proceeded to name her dolls. And the first one she named Christmas Tree, and the second one she named Hanukkah. So that's kind of where I am. I will assume that your presence here indicates that you have a desire to celebrate Christmas in new ways, or that you are celebrating Christmas in new ways and would like to share that with the rest of the group. The focus in this session will be on changing personal and family Christmas habits. I haven't done anything in regards to really changing the community or the society at large. Perhaps some of you have. Has anybody worked you know, with the media or done anything like that? Anybody? No, okay. And I assume that your presence here indicates some dissatisfactions with your present celebration. But before we brainstorm or focus on specific changes, I think it's really important to know why we're here and what we really want to change. First of all, I'd just like to throw out a question, which is, when you hear the word celebrate or celebration, what pops into your mind? Celebrate. What does that imply to you? Food, drink, being together, singing, good, joy. Any kind of celebration. When you celebrate, what do you do? What else?
Music.
Presence, music. Singing.
Acknowledge.
Pardon me?
Acknowledge.
Could you, yeah, explain that?
Acknowledge.
Acknowledge. Could you say more?
Go on. To recognize.
Okay. All right. And when you think about Christmas celebration, would anyone like to just throw out words that pop into their mind when you think of Christmas celebration specifically? Okay.
What?
Right, right. Tradition.
Culture.
Family.
Christ's birth.
Joy, pardon me?
Christ's birth.
Christ's birth. Yes, Santa Claus, yeah.
Presence.
Presents. All right.
Vacation.
Vacation.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Advertising.
Yeah, right. As Christians, I think we all know that, you know, Christmas is a celebration of life, and yet, of course, it doesn't always work out that way. There's a lot of stumbling blocks before we can really celebrate in ways that are meaningful to us. I think it's pretty clear the one stumbling block is societal forces, and I think we could go on and on about what that does to us. One of the advertisements from this catalog one time had a wonderful picture of Santa's sleigh with the reindeer sailing through the sky, and inside was Jesus, baby Jesus, waving out. And it pictured pretty clearly the dilemma that we're in. Some of you maybe have seen the Neiman Marcus catalog, which takes, you know, consumerism to the end of the road. Crown Russian sable cape for $42,000, elephant hide kit for $100, a champagne bucket for only $170, and on and on. It's, you know, it's impossible to escape that. It's just a fact of our existence. But I think that the other force that's working against it is not only outside. I think it's within ourselves. I know it's within myself. My own greed, I like to say I just can't escape it. Society forces it on me. Yeah, of course it does, but there's also things that I want that I don't need. I think another aspect is our own securities. I had a Leo Tolstoy quote here, but I couldn't find it, so I'm going to read something from Mr. Rogers instead. He says, and for those of you who are parents, I think that he says it very well, the fantasy persists within the hearts of many loving parents, the fantasy that says, certainly there's something perfect I can give to my children, even if it isn't the whole of my life, maybe just one day each year. And many choose Christmas for that one day. They invest in Christmas what they would like to invest in the entire year. Consequently, their expectations are as high as their pocketbooks are empty. They fill the house with presents and then await perfection in return. Instead, at the end of Christmas Day, there are still tears and fights. The parents are disappointed. They feel that the family didn't appreciate all the effort they extended to make the day special. The perfect holiday that they anticipated includes its own imperfections, as other days of the year include theirs. And yet, in practically every home, the very next year, the very same thing happens. The human heart continues to long for the perfect day. He goes on to point out one other thing. There's an even more universal longing, one that everyone, parents and children alike, shares, and that is the longing to have something to give that is acceptable to others. It helps me to recognize the depth of this longing when I review my feelings about Christmas. Everyone wants to feel that he or she has something to offer. The most depressing feeling in the world is that one has nothing to offer. Nothing that acceptable. And I think society, you know, plays on that and puts us in a bind, but we buy into it. I think one other aspect is our own expectations of what Christmas should be. And I played a game with myself, which was I decided I was going to fantasize about the perfect Christmas. And I'd like you to just do it in your head for a moment. Get a flash image. Don't think about it, but image in your mind the perfect Christmas. Do you have a little picture? Is it anything that you've actually experienced? Yes. No. How many of for you was the fantasy something that you've experienced? Raise your hand. Okay. For how many of you did it have nothing to do with anything you've ever experienced? Okay, that happened to me. It's a ridiculous thing, kind of a Walton Christmas, I know. But if it was something that you've had in your experience, then, you know, keep that image in your mind as maybe a goal or something that you'd like to see happen again as we continue to talk. If we're going to change, then it's going to be necessary to change ourselves. and it's going to be necessary to really be committed to the change. And we're going to have to plan ahead. If you wait until, you know, the middle of December to start thinking about how you're going to change your Christmas, you're not, and you're going to end up buying your kid that Barbie doll that you didn't want him to have, but you find yourself kind of, you know, up against a wall and not knowing what to do. The commercial world is planning now. You better believe. What does it say? I guess I have the wrong page here. Okay, as I sit here during the middle of July, pulling together these ideas for celebrating an alternate Christmas. Department stores are ordering tons of plastic and metal decorations. Buyers are stretching their brains for new sources for unusual gifts, for the products they pray will become the fad and rage of Christmas time. Bank AmeriCard is contracting with its advertising agency to create a new Christmas television spot as smooth and clever as last year's. Ad agency writers and artists are climbing the wall for a new twist, a novel approach, some catchy idea to get you and me to buy lots more things. Okay, so if you're going to beat them to the punch, you've got to start thinking about it now. I think it's also important to set realistic goals. I know I used to sort of think my image of what I should do at Christmas time is to give away all my personal goods and go serve dinner at the Salvation Army. And, I, you know, of course, I never did that. And every Christmas, I sort of feel like a failure. So I don't think we should stop if we make some little change, if we've arrived. But, you know, if this year all you do is make one Christmas ornament that you didn't make last year, that's a step. And, you know, don't give up. You know, if you have a goal in mind, you'll eventually get at least partway there. And then I guess the last thing I would think would be important would be to work in community. And that's not always possible, but I think it's, you know, the best way to work towards one's Christian goals. So I think we can kind of start thinking of, you know, about some specifics, unless, did anybody have any comments so far? Questions? Thoughts that they wanted to add? Okay. Let me just ask you this. What has bothered you most about the way you celebrate Christmas? Just focus on something specific. What, you know, what bothers you the most? What, if you could change one thing, what would it be?
The gifts.
Commercialization.
Less gifts.
Trying to outdo what was given before.
Give it yourself instead of what you can buy.
Okay.
Make your gifts.
Okay. Can anyone else throw out something that they would like to change?
Don't count on the big Christmas meal as being the center of everything.
Okay. Did you hear?
I'm sorry.
No, I just wanted to make sure everybody heard you. Okay. To change the focus from the meal to maybe more things during the day.
To communicating, I think in our family we tend to clump together and get all excited about the meal and watch people preparing it, and then we sit and we eat it, and then we go back and watch the football game or whatever. And there isn't any time really spent during the day just talking about why we serve it.
Okay. Somebody else
said it. On TV instead of the ball game.
Did you hear some?
It isn't only at Christmas, but my children almost dread occasions and having company because there's so much pressure as far as cleaning and cooking and, you know, whatever the preparation involves. Sometimes they're almost, you know, sorry to see an occasion.
Yes, okay. So just the pressure of the preparations. Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, the gifts, even outside of Christmas, like when you get to be our age where you don't need much and your kids can afford more and they feel they have to give you something and you just feel like a big waste. You know, it's, I got a camera case, replace a camera case that was already, or was what I liked. I don't like the new one. Okay. And it costs a lot of money, I think. Okay.
I don't like the pressure of getting out Christmas cards.
Okay.
I mean, I avoid that by sending them later on. I don't feel guilty.
All right, yeah.
One thing we did at our church to prevent the Christmas card thing among our own church families, just donate whatever we were going to spend for Christmas card, and everybody's name goes up on a great big, you know, one that somebody made, and just say Merry Christmas and write your name, and you donate that $5 or $10 you're going to spend sending your loved ones within the church family Christmas cards. And that was one good thing we did. It's the getting out of, I understand what you're saying, mailing them to your relatives and things that are far distant.
It's a good idea.
One thing that my folks have done for 30 years since they've been married, and the older I get, the more I appreciate it. Each year for Christmas, for the Christmas card, they use it as an opportunity to really share the message of Christmas and what it means to them and their family. And, you know, they get hundreds of Christmas cards, and very few, and even real believers, take that opportunity, which is just the perfect time of the year to really share your faith. And I really appreciate that, and I know it's something in my family that it's really being done in the marriages there. You know, it's being continued.
Like, are you talking about like a Christmas letter, or
yeah,
what would you?
Yeah, a Christmas letter that really shares what's been happening in the families and really shares the message of Christmas. And I think it's really important for believers to share with their friends at that time of the year what Christmas means to them. And what better way than a Christmas card? And to me, a Christmas card sent with just the name sign is really, without purpose.
Anything else? One thing that you would want to change? Those are all nice comments. What would you like to change? Yeah.
One thing I would like to do, and I have found that it is, I haven't been able to get this within my own family and then to feel that I'm comfortable doing it. But as this gentleman was saying, when you get older, you don't need as many things. And when you start buying for people who are older as well as receiving them, what do you buy? And I would like to, instead of buying a gift, just send a card and say that we have donated money to such and such a cause or to their church or to something, some really needy cause in their name, and use the money for something in that way.
Okay, it sounds like we're heading right into brainstorming. So what I would like to do, I think about 30 of these were run off, and there's some suggestions. Mainly the reason I did it was not because these ideas are so profound, but because I think that change can be very scary, even tiny changes, and very hard. And I just thought it might be helpful if you had a piece of paper in your hand to take home with some ideas. A lot of these ideas are from this catalog. And so if you see a page number on here, it's just from that page. And this is just something, like I said, just to kind of get started. So I don't know if there's enough to go around, but if you don't want one, then fine. You know what?
I wanted to share this one thing. When you said that about tiny changes, I think I had an experience that had to be one of the tiniest ones, and it just absolutely surprised me how much trouble I had with it. We normally, if you have a big Christmas dinner, a lot of people have potatoes and, potatoes and dressing and rolls, right? I tried to not have rolls on Christmas. And I said, okay, we'll have to have dressing if you can choose, you want potatoes or rolls. And this woman who was 80 years old was living with us, she and I went around for half a day on that. I tried to explain to her that I thought it was bad use of resources, you didn't need all the carbohydrates and so on. She says, potatoes and dressing and gravy, they just all go together. You've got to have all of them. And afterwards, I mean, that wasn't the end of it. We had a woman come have dinner with us who normally lives alone. She liked the potatoes. So boy, did she like those. She mentioned it several times. And for a month and a half after that, this woman would give me That woman sure didn't like those potatoes. It's
hard. It's real hard.
It doesn't get much smaller than that.
No. It's not easy. I'm going to have to ask somebody for a sheet back because I gave them all. Thank you. Okay. Maybe we could just run through the list, and then as things pop into your head, you know, as this makes you think of something that you've done, or if you can elaborate on this, you know, holler out, okay? That's all this is here for, is to just get our minds going. Up here, in case you want to, if you haven't bought the book here and get home and you want to order it, this is where you get it from. I think it's about $5. That's the address, okay? All right, homemade gifts, banners, poems. Yes, Andy, go.
I had one year we tried not putting any name on the outside packages, and so that we take turns opening, and then the name of who it was in the package inside, and then the opener would still it on the person. It got away from, you know, how many presents do I have under the tree, but it was also real hard on my kids. They didn't want us to do it again, but I really liked it.
Yeah, that's neat. Okay, if you're inclined towards poetry, not everyone is, I would like the Marquards to share their coupon exchange.
Well, every year we have handmade stockings, you know, hung by the fireplace, and I just hate to put things in the stockings because that just seems, I don't know, it just seems so extra and another thing to do. And so this year on Christmas morning, what we decided to do is we drew names. There are five people in our family, and we drew names. And you could stuff the person's sock whose name you drew with 10 things. And the things had to be all something, you couldn't spend any money. And so we ended up getting a lot of coupons, like my son had my name and I got a back rub and I got dishes without any complaining. And someone got a clay figure and a rock with a fancy initial painted on it. And it was absolutely delightful. And those were the gifts we gave Sunday morning. We all sat around and just took turns taking one thing at a time out of the sock. It was really neat.
In fact, that was really fun because you had, like if I had my daughter Anne Marie's name, I would think, now what are 10 or 12 things that Anne Marie really likes that can't cost anything?
Tell
them
what you did that.
Which one? Oh, yeah. One of my coupons is I'd give her a trip any place within 25 miles. And boy, her little mind went to work on that one, you know. And but it was really fun to think.
How about the one where they went and they didn't know where they were going? Didn't you give them something and they didn't know where they were going? They were going to take you for a surprise, and they didn't know where they were going. That was really fun.
I guess for me what was fun about it is I could think of my daughter Anne Marie. What are 12 things or 10 things she really likes? And so it allowed me to give myself to her. And then likewise with Jan, she just really eats up back rubs. And so Joel, geez, you know, gave her two or three coupons of back rubs. But it was really kind of fun.
Sometimes mother becomes the focus of buying and wrapping and preparing, and that way we all had to think of another person.
One thing also that for us in our family, we all have traditions, but we celebrate the 12 days of Christmas at our house. And so when Christmas Day comes until January 6th, that tree doesn't come down, and everything stays up. And we have one really crummy present a day. That may, the kids don't get frosted, you know, sugar-coated frosted flakes. They get that. You know, that may be a present, you know. And there's just kind of really goofy things for the 12 days of Christmas. But it certainly keeps the holiday going. Keeps the holiday going for 12 full days at our house, and we're still having a good time, and everybody's all packed up, and again, that's a good time. So we really milk it as much as we can.
And I think that the idea of just being silly, there is one idea here, this thing called a funny box, that was just filled with just little dumb items, like, you know, a bar of soap, but there'd be some little note with it why this person was getting a bar of soap. And, I mean, you know, it could be any number of reasons. But I think things like, you know, and like what you're saying, puts the joy back in. You know, have a good time. Just be silly.
Well, I'll shut up then. The one was the surprise trip is we have a friend who's got a farm 25 miles from town. And I called up the friend, and she's got old plow horses. And I said, can I bring the kids out to go riding? She says, great. So it was a surprise, and they had no idea where we were going. And no idea, we went different directions, man. And they were so pumped up and so curious. And then finally we came in the back way to Ingrid's house, and they were just, oh, that was just real, that was a good one. And again, it was real cheap, too. I as a father of the family, really like those cheap things.
All right. I put a couple things on here, just of things that we've been doing down in Fun Frog, because they're so easy. One is doing things with these fabric crayons, which you draw a picture on a piece of paper and then iron it on, and you can make t-shirts or napkins, and my three-year-old did this part. You know, but it's just something real, real easy. I like the idea of keeping some of your leftovers to make TV dinner trays for shut-ins, you know, frozen, you know, TV dinners. And I also liked an idea in here of getting older members of your family to talk about Christmas past and putting it on a cassette and saving that. I thought that was nice. Yes?
In our church, we've done a present exchange the last 3 years, and it's, I believe it's from that catalog, it's the I Give You board, and it's, you have a place to put your name up and what you want to give, and then somebody comes along and signs next to the present they want to receive. So you can give something that you're good at or that you like to do. And again, it doesn't cost any money, basically.
What would be an example of how you do it?
I have a beautiful Bible cover that I signed up for from a woman. I treasure it always. Back rubs, foot rub. I got foot rub on here from some friends. Helping in the garden for a half a day. I gave that one there, and the church ended up buying that and taking that from me. I think what's in it. It's just everything. There's a lot of cooking, you know, apple pie and stuff. And it's a good thing because you can give what you're good at.
Or if you're frozen too many raspberries.
Any other? I'm sure you all have ideas. Throw them out, because the rest of us might not know them.
One really good one for your wife. I gave her 1 year. Was I gave her 4 hours of shopping with no complaints. Absolutely hated it. And 1 year, and I would not complain. I'd go there 4 hours. I wouldn't say a thing. I wouldn't even grumble. Just 4 hours in the coupon. She really liked that one.
The other men are sitting here.
I have one for older people. Aunt who is 95 and a mother-in-law who is 91. And about 10 years ago, this aunt, who is just a very special lady, said, please don't give me anything. I want, excuse me, only disposable gifts from now on. I have everything I need. So that really put us on the spot. And I started thinking about it, and so I thought, well, we want her to be here next year. And so we started with a calendar, which was the main gift. And then we got 12 little things, none of them cost more than a dollar, like some tea or some canned oysters, which she really loves, or little things like that to be opened on each month. And so she has 12 things to open during the year. And every month we get a letter. Oh, I opened it and it was so great. And it's just a wonderful kind of gift. And now they expect it every year.
They want to.
What other ideas?
We did anything in college, and I don't know how it worked with the family, but we used our own initials. My name is Kelly Bierman, so KB. I had to bring a gift that started with KB, and I brought a Kleenex box. So it was like musical presents, and we all sat in a circle, and we tossed the presents around, stop, okay, then so-and-so opened up her gift, and for instance, she got a giant size of panty hose, and it was supposed to be saggy hose from a girl named Sarah Hagelin. It became a real big game, and it was just first and middle initial. I don't know, it was really fun.
Don't be shy. You're all hiding ideas.
In my sister's family, they had written down some ideas of some things that they would like to do for other people. She had two boys that were like 8 and 10 at that time. And so one day they made cookies, and then during the week they delivered them to somebody. But that was kind of their Advent calendar. So for each day, they would open up, or they would draw out of the jar one suggestion that someone had put in. And they were very easy things. On weekends, they did some special things, that took more time. But weekdays, they did some little things of, you know, doing a good deed for somebody else. That worked really well with her family.
Yeah, I keep hearing again and again, giving the gift of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some more ideas. All right,
I just think a gift to give for people with young children is probably the gift of babysitting for like a whole day or a weekend. And that's really a gift.
Amen. Yeah, thank you. Okay.
You accept.
I can't wait. Does Christmas in July count?
Yeah. I had one more thing to add to our church present exchange. I was astounded at how much it helped us learn to know each other. We don't have a really strong sense of community in our church. And we had the board up for about 4 or 5 weeks before Christmas. And that was what people did, is they went and got a cup of coffee and stood there looking at who was giving a gift and who was getting one, and spent, I don't know, 20 minutes every Sunday morning at least doing that and talking to each other about, I didn't know they did that. And so it was much more than just a pleasant exchange between the two people.
That's neat. That's a good point. Okay, sometimes, you know, you do have to buy gifts. One thing that I really recommend, it's not for everybody. You'd want to be careful about who you gave it to, because some people would not, right, would probably be offended, is to give this catalog. And in it, I forget what it costs. I think the catalog is $5, and then you buy a $10, you send in $15, and they send you back a catalog and a gift certificate. And the catalog is filled with advertisements, but it's all advertisements for life-supporting organizations. And when the person gets the catalog, what he or she has to do is choose an organization to which to contribute the $10. You always feel funny just saying, well, I just gave $10 in your name to UNICEF. Well, because some people just don't like that. But if they get here, they're getting something tangible, and they can pick what they want to contribute to. We did it 1 year, and for my husband's mother, and she ended up developing a whole church project, raising money to buy a cow or something for someone in some other country. But it kind of mushroomed. And if you can see through almost every page, I'm gonna eat my words here, has an organization listed. And then it also gets the person reading the catalog and seeing what different possibilities are for their own celebrations. So I'd really recommend that if you think the person's an appropriate receiver of that. I'd also recommend getting books now from the Holden Bookstore, because I think they're, you know, as I'm sure all of you know, they're wonderful, wonderful books. Or just buy from life-supporting organizations yourself. How about the rest of you? Do you have suggestions for bought gifts that you think are worth putting the money into and buying?
Some of the cassettes that we need from Holden.
Yeah, good, yeah. Good idea. Yes.
A complaint I had never thought of before about this giving a gift in a person's name is that this particular person was offended, because he said if a gift was for him, then it should be the organization he chose.
Right.
Your organization.
Right. Absolutely. That's why this is kind of nice, you know, that the person can look through and pick whatever one they like. What gifts? Yeah.
My sister's the only person in the family I could give something used to.
Something what?
Used. From a rummage sale or a thrift shop. She collects penguins and she reads old novels. And to me, it seems like you can find some really great thing for 25 cents that would be absolutely perfect for someone, but you might say to me, well, obviously this is new.
Yes.
You know, and the rest of the family, like my mother or something like that, or my grandmother or my dad or anybody would go, look at that. Who knows what you spent, but it wasn't much.
Yeah,
but
right.
Sometimes it seems like, I know, on my list I put down I wanted frogs. Not the green kind, the flower arranging things with holes in them. Nobody got me one. Nobody in the family goes to rummage sales, I guess. But I would have been delighted. They could probably get something great for quarters. But it's hard to get people to think like that.
Maybe something that we should learn from that is when somebody tells you they want something, believe them. I mean, a lot of times we don't.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we end up getting camera cases that we don't want, and we don't listen to what people tell us.
If there's something that's not too expensive you would like, if you have a collection, you know, or something, even if you develop a faintly spurious interest just so the kids can have, you know, I mean, it's something that maybe small, so it's not going to take up your home. I like old pillows, you know, won't work. But I know first editions. Horatio Alger or something, this prominent list of what you've already got. You know, it's nice if you have to spend a little bit of time, get a couple old bookstores or something like that. You feel like a shop, you have to just walk, you know, I'll take one of them.
Right.
But it makes it easier if you know what somebody's collecting, so it's not totally superfluous.
Good. Yes. Well, I think, yeah, we'll go ahead. You go first, then.
One other idea, especially for older people, is that if they have, like, a special plate or something that they would like to give their children or their grandchildren or great-grandchildren, give it to them before they die. And so the grandchild or the great-grandchild will know that this plate came from, you know, a great-great-great-grandmother, and give it to them as a gift for Christmas or a birthday.
That's neat. Yeah, good idea.
As we get older, we're trying to divest ourselves, particularly when you move from a three-bedroom out to a motorhome, which we did a few years back. Gifts, I was giving some of my cherished possessions that I no longer had room for. But I still loved them and felt that they were more worthwhile to give as a gift than something I'd go out and buy.
Yeah. People would love to get them, yeah. Why don't we go on to activities, because I think that this can really, if we have activities for the day or for the season, that really takes the pressure off of what am I going to get or what am I going to give. If we're having fun, then the getting doesn't seem quite so, or the giving, the pressure, it all just relieves the pressure. One idea that the catalog suggested was to hide some of the gifts and you know, leave clues around and go on a hunt. There again, maybe that might not appeal to little kids. They might want it all under the tree. But you'd have fun in the process of hunting. It wouldn't all just be, you know, piles of goodies under the tree. Plays, puppet shows. There was one nice suggestion called a Polish bread tradition in here. It was, again, something that Mr. Rogers talked about, where, if I have it right, each person in the family has a piece of bread off of one loaf, and from his or her piece gives a piece to each other member in the family, and while they do that, say some affirming thing to that person, so that when you're done, you've given each person a piece, and each person has given you a piece. So you have you know, a handful of pieces, but also, you know, all the love and affirmation, which I thought was a nice idea. Non-competitive games. There, I don't know if that book's still in the bookstore of New Games.
Yeah.
Is it still in there? Okay. Okay, great. Good ideas. Making musical instruments. There again, if, you know, if you're so inclined, or even, you know, combs and drums, you know, for singing. And one idea, and one that I followed, at least thought about, was don't have a Christmas party. You know, the pressure that surrounds, oh, I haven't entertained my friends and I've got to have a Christmas party and get everybody together. You know, is it necessary? Can you get your friends together some other time? Do your friends really want to come to one more Christmas party? You know, rethink that. And also, whoever up there had mentioned all the pressure of cleaning and all that. That parties just compound all that, as we all, and of course the expense not just is becoming terrible. Any other ideas for activities?
Yeah. I'm not sure how this could be done, but there was a lady in our congregation, well, there are many who make lefse, and I don't know how to make lefse. So one year I asked her, can I come when you make lefse to learn how to make it? We had the best afternoon. But I was just sitting here thinking, if there was some Christmas tradition that you did that was really special, like lefse making, it might be kind of fun to invite a younger person who wouldn't know how to do that to come and spend the afternoon with you while you did your traditional Christmas thing.
It's a neat idea.
Christmas tradition's really wonderful, and if the children get old, if you try and leave one out, you're in trouble. They really start to count on them as they get older, and then they'll pick them up and continue them on.
Do you have some ones that you find special?
Well, we make Christmas trees that we give to all of our friends instead of cards or gifts. It's just a bread tree, and we deliver them on Christmas Eve day, and we had a bookstore for 8 years, and so Christmas was the time you made your 30% of your profit for the year. And so I was often a little bit busy at that time. And so the children started really thinking, we've got to make the bread, when are we making the bread? You know, and so it got done every year.
What's a bread tree?
It's, well, you take and make, we make it out of a Finnish bread recipe. It's a sweet bread. And then you just take little balls and you make a tree with one at the top, and you come down to four at the bottom, and then you decorate it with powdered sugar frosting and maraschino cherries, green and red.
You have a tree-shaped bread pan?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right. And that's your gift. And they all depend on it for Christmas breakfast.
Uh-huh, sure. Ed?
This doesn't fit in, but we had kind of an interesting experience this last year. We had decided to invite some people over from a neighboring nursing home. They didn't want to come. And it was kind of a good revelation. They, you know, were polite and everything, and they did come ultimately. But their friends were at the nursing home.
That's right.
And you know, you kind of think, oh, these all people are lonely over there and everything. And these people, they didn't have kids in the area. But by George, they were having that celebration at 1 o'clock that day, and all their friends were going to be there. And you know, sometimes you kind of forget that. So all these people out here may be real lonely, but they may have a whole set of friends there in those places. So,
or to do that inviting on a different day,
yeah,
you know, everybody, you know, Chris, you know, you have that one day. I think Charlie had mentioned that instead of going caroling to nursing homes, the kids went trick or treating at Halloween. You know, to take that Christmas time and put it somewhere else.
I can tell you, I work in a nursing home, and they're tripping over everybody. Singing Christmas carols. They're coming in one hall and singing down the other, and you can't get one group out before the other one is falling over them. And I said, why don't you come? You know, why don't you space it? Come every month. They really enjoy the kids coming in. I never accomplished that as far as churches, Girl Scouts, Bluebirds, you know, all of the different organizations. They still do it.
Our vacation church school in the summer. And they go to the nursing homes at that time, and they're all appreciated.
Right. I think we're going to move on. We've got about, I don't know, I guess 5 more minutes or so. Cards, you know, mentioned over here, can be a real problem. Sending them, also buying or making them. One thing that we've been doing in Fun Fall. These are just, this is a stamp cut out of one of those little art gummy racers. you know, just carve it out and print it on a stamp pad. It's something the kids could do. You know, they could, if it's not sophisticated enough for you, you know, at least, you know, your kids could make some cards. I'm sure you have lots of organizations that you know of to buy cards from. I know UNICEF, American Friends, Service Committee. If nothing else, get your cards on recycled paper. Any other ideas for cards that you've used, or non-cards? Yeah.
I've given up. There's no hope of getting Christmas cards out. So I've just given up, and I write my Christmas letters after Christmas.
Good idea. Also, that way you can respond to all the cards that you've gotten, you know, and you actually have a dialogue rather than, you know, send New Year's cards.
I got an idea once where they said that no one really gets probably so much. Seems like you hardly ever look at your Christmas cards again. You know, you just kind of glance at them and then push them, put them in a certain place or just glance them around. You never really go back and think about family or even really look at the Christmas message real closely. So the idea was, starting after the day after Christmas, is to take a card at a time and look at it, look at who it's from, look at the meaning. This is at family dinner, supposedly. And then any letter in the message, and then to pray for that family and do devotion.
Oh, that's neat.
I thought that was a neat idea. That way you're at least responding to each card. You really don't have time to get them.
No.
Prior to time.
Just throw them aside. Yes.
Well, I think if we want to, we can make the time. I feel Christmas cards are my way of sharing. And I send out many every year with letters. And it's my one way that I can share with my family. And I start early. I mean, it's one of my top priorities. And I just feel it's very important for me personally. And when I get them, I'm equally as excited.
Yes.
One year we mimeographed our Christmas letter on just simple mimeograph paper, but on the top I cut out old Christmas cards and pasted a picture on the top. And it's
I've quit sending cards to anybody that I don't want to write a letter to.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. Not even just a note, but a letter, a sharing. Hi, this is how my year is going. If I don't have that to say to you,
okay, miscellaneous stuff. Ornaments can be a fun way, you know, in a little way to start changing things. I have one friend who, you probably don't know what God's eyes are. This is the big version. But if you take toothpicks, this is a friend who teaches Spanish. She decorates her whole tree with just, you know, little God's eyes ornaments. And kids can do that. Not little bitty kids, but yeah, I thought that was kind of neat. We've been making bread dough ornaments, real simple recipe if anybody wants it. This is the little people's version with cookie cutters, and this is the big people's, you know, sophisticated version. Someone gave me this. It was supposed to be a Cata ornament, and that, you know, that really meant a lot. That's my little girl. Yeah, that meant a lot to me. Okay. Another idea that was in the catalog was, if you have children, to begin when they're little, saving their little toys, you know, little rattles or little squeak toys, and save one or two each year and use them as ornaments on the tree. That's
gonna be good. Another thing is, kids, I have four kids, and I get all kinds of things from school and Sunday school. And every little thing that they go to, we get a special little thing they made. And that's what decorates our tree. And every year we pick one or two things that are left for the next year to decorate it, and then all the new things come off the tree. So my tree is very well decorated.
Good, that's neat. That's a nice idea.
This one costs money, and I'm sure lots of people do it, but Jan buys one ornament for each child a year, and it's a very special ornament. It's very special. And they're all, you know, the name of each child's on them, and the kids just see that slowly accumulating on the tree, and in fact, we're not sure if we're going to let them take them when they leave. They kind of like them too. But, you know, it's just kind of an expanding tradition in the year. I know it's a common one, but that certainly is an important one to our family.
Another inexpensive decoration, an old-fashioned popcorn But except that we have these packing peanuts now. Oh. String a whole bunch of those and you've got beautiful.
Oh, styrofoam. Yeah. Well, that's cute. That's a good idea. You know what she's talking about? Those little styrofoam. I can't feed them to the birds. Is that right?
Yeah, the birds are
won't go for it. Okay, banners, Advent wreaths. That's just, you know, such a nice way to prepare for Christmas that you begin thinking about it again, you know, before it's upon you, if you have an Advent wreath. And if you have kids, the gift wrap can be done in lots of different ways. Let them finger paint, stamp it, use comic strip paper, all that stuff. I included this quote at the bottom because I think as a parent, it's so hard to fight materialism at Christmas. So that was just one that was particularly meaningful to me, that to creatively deprive a child means to keep his senses and mind free of material goods that overwhelm him. I don't know. So, one more book, if you're into making Christmas stuff, this is a wonderful little book on how to make Christmas stuff, and none of it is particularly difficult, promise. It's a nice book, and it's also in the bookstore. Do you have anything else that you'd like to add? Thanks for all the ideas. Good luck.